Jesus, our only joy, be thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou our glory now and through eternity.
Amen. Let's take the word of God tonight, and we will go to 1 Samuel chapter number 21. I appreciate the music throughout the day, and I appreciate the choir, and I appreciate even the offertory. You know, some of the best offertories, in my opinion, are the ones that you can almost sing in your mind and heart, and you kind of go along with it. And boy, that's a great way to worship the Lord, and I thank the Lord for that. Well, throughout this day, because this week is back to school for our students and lots of different folks, I preached this morning on God has called you to be a student. And we talked about being a student of the Word of God. But then tonight, as I told you, I want to preach to you on this subject, the school of loneliness. The school of loneliness. Now, throughout your life, you never get out of God's classroom. God puts us in His classroom. And in His classroom, He is there to teach us many things about Himself, even things about our own lives, and things that we need to give attention to. Well, when we come to 1 Samuel chapter number 21, let me just give you a little background. We are dealing with David. Now, David is on his way to the throne. David is the man after God's own heart. But what is happening in 1 Samuel chapter 21 is that David is on the run. He is running from King Saul, but God has put him in the school of loneliness. In fact, in the last verse of 1 Samuel chapter 20, can we pick up there? And that's verse number 42 of 1 Samuel chapter 20. I want you to notice this. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.' And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." Can I tell you something? That's the last time that he will see Jonathan alive. That's the last time that he will have communion. Jonathan was probably his best friend. But now David is having to flee for his life because Jonathan's own father, Saul, is so jealous that he wants to kill David. David enters into the school of loneliness. There's lessons there. What do we learn in the school of loneliness? Let's begin, if you would please, in chapter 21 and verse number 1. "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, 'Why art thou alone, and no man with thee?' And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, 'The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present.' And the priest answered David and said, 'There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women.' And David answered the priest and said unto him, 'Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel.' So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, 'And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with thee, because the king's business required haste.' And the priest said, 'The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is none other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, here we find David. He is fearing his life. He has left Jonathan, the companionship of Jonathan. He has left the really being in the palace because David was there working for Saul, but he knows that his life is at stake. And David is entering into a classroom. It's a classroom of loneliness. Now, we understand that when David came to this city of Nob, it was outside of the city of Jerusalem, that David really lied to Ahimelech, the priest. David was not there on the king's business. And David lies to the man. We'll talk about that in just a moment because God's teaching him. God is dealing with his man. By the way, David's on his way to the throne, but he's not ready to take the throne. God has to do a work in David's heart and life before he can ever sit on the throne of the nation of Jerusalem. So let's look at some things here today. Brethren, can I remind you that there are things in life that we choose for ourselves. We choose for ourselves. But there are other things in life that God chooses for us. We would have never chose them of our own, but God chose them for us. Do you think that David would have chosen to run for his life? No. Do you think that David would have had to have lived for so many years fleeing from cave after cave and under the threat of King Saul? David would never have chosen that for himself. And I want you to know, none of us would have chosen trials and sorrows and heartaches that God often chooses for us. We would not choose those things, but He chooses them for us because He puts us in His classroom and He wants to teach us. By the way, could you imagine if on Thursday, if all the kids, we got 93 students this year at Victory Christian School, if we just said, kids, I'm going to tell you what, you can choose what you get to learn here at Victory Christian School. You think that would be good? No, it'd be a disaster, all right? Can I tell you why? Because if it would have been me, I'd have said, I choose recess. That's what I want to do, you know. I choose lunch, you know. I'd like to spend half the day there and half the day in recess, you know. And I choose a class on explosives, you know. I'd like to learn about that. And, you know, hey, let's just be honest, you know. They would not choose what they need. They would not choose. They would erase anything hard out of their life. If they struggle with it, nope, I'm not choosing that. But we are much that way. We don't choose what God wants for us. But God chooses to put us in His classroom. And by the way, when you and I come to grips with that truth, that there are things that God has chosen for us that He knows that we need, He knows to work in our heart to bring us nearer to Him. When we come to grips with that truth, then that helps us. We're able to look beyond our sorrow. We're able to look beyond our hurt and our wounds and to look for God's hand. By the way, if you are not looking for the hand of God behind all the circumstances of life, you will become very discouraged and you can often live in despair. Because if we remove God out of the picture, if this is just a life of happen chance, if this is just a life of a bunch of accidents, and this is just a life where, boy, I'm telling you, you just have some bad luck in life. No, but when you come to understand that there is a sovereign God who is working in everything that comes to our life, that God cares about us, that God wants us to grow and to know Him more, then that changes our perspective on everything. Because when we see that God is at work, then by the way, I want to stay in the classroom. I want to learn the lesson that He has for us to learn. Folks, our God allows us to pass through periods of loneliness so that we might seek Him for all that we need. I am well aware that every service we have, no doubt there are people that are sitting here. You might be among a lot of people, but you're lonely. You know, have you ever thought that it could be that people that you see from time to time, it might be even me or staff that are very lonely. Because God puts us in the classroom of loneliness. And in the classroom, He's the teacher. He's the master teacher. And may God help us to learn what we need to learn in the classroom of loneliness. Now, what do we learn in the classroom of loneliness? Number one, I want you to know that we learn to think. We learn to think. You say, Pastor, what do you mean we learn to think? You know, often in the busyness of life, in the clamor of life, in life often becomes so much of a routine. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home, and we have a routine. And routine is good. I've had parents tell me, Pastor, my child needs to go back to school, all right? And kids need routine. That's good for them. But in sometimes we get so busy with the busyness of life that we don't think like God wants us to think. God wants us to think right about Him, to think right about the circumstances that have come into our life, to look for the hand of God. But sometimes we get so busy, we do not comprehend that God is at work and His hand is behind everything in our life. The heartache, the sorrow, even the blessings, that God is at work. So what do we learn in the classroom of loneliness? We learn to think. Now, remember that David has come to this village of Nob, outside of the city of Jerusalem. By the way, in the village of Nob, there's the tabernacle there. But there's 86 priests with their families that are living there in that village. Now, it was in Nob that David would come and he would speak to Ahimelech the priest. And there, David is not truthful. He is not honest. And by the way, he's learning something about this. He's learning to trust God. And by the way, remember that it wasn't too long before this that David stood in the Valley of Elah. There, he is going to go out against a 9-foot, 9-inch giant named Goliath. And David is not going to take sword and spear with him. David is going to take a sling. He's going to take some stones with him. And he is going to stand there. And Goliath has been a man of war from his youth. He has impenetrable armor upon him. He can kill David. I mean, it is a match like no other. And yet David stood there, knowing that the victory is the Lord, knowing that the battle is the Lord's. And you know the story. David killed the giant Goliath, but it was God who gave him the victory. It was God who worked and God who did this. But now David's not thinking right. David comes to the city of Nob and he's scared. I mean, I'd be scared if someone was chasing after me to kill me. David is scared. David is alone. David is fearful. And David lies to the priest of Ahimelech. We know that here later, Doeg would tell Saul about seeing David there. And you know the story. Saul shows up. And Saul has his men murder all of those priests and their families. And David, can you imagine what he's thinking? David in his heart and mind. Brethren, God prepares a school of loneliness for us. Now, by the way, sometimes the classroom of loneliness is maybe a hospital room where a loved one is there and about to pass away. That can be a school of loneliness. Sometimes the classroom is your home where you're discouraged and maybe where everyone has left and you're all alone in the home. It's a school of loneliness. Maybe it could be the desertion of a friend. There is no hurt like the hurt of a friend. There's no hurt like the betrayal of a friend. And David understands this. And it is a school of loneliness. It could be when you get the report from the doctor. It could be when your boss says that your job is no longer. There are schools of loneliness that you and I have entered into. And let me tell you tonight, there are more schools of loneliness to come. But in the school of loneliness, we learn to think. We learn to think as God would have us to think. I said it this morning, but wrong living is because of wrong thinking. And so many times we are not living right because we're not thinking right. And when we think right, we live right. You see, our beliefs determine our behavior. And what goes on in our heart and mind affects every area of our life. You see, David is learning how to think like God wants him to think. By the way, you know, when God puts you in the school of loneliness, it might be trouble in your marriage. It might be trouble with a wayward child. It might be dealing with some health issue in your life. It might be some financial need. But when God puts you in that school of loneliness, He has prepared the classroom. You know what our teachers have been doing for a few weeks now? They've been getting the classroom all ready. Man, it's all decorated. And man, it looks great. I'm thinking about going back to school. You know what I mean? Not really, all right? But man, it looks great. And boy, they're preparing those students. You know what? They don't just show up and say, well, kids, what do y'all want to learn today? You know? No, they've got a curriculum. They have lesson plans, and they know what they are ready to teach. And those kids need to learn certain things. But God is always ready to teach us in the classroom. He prepares the classroom for us. And by the way, I thank the Lord, if we could listen, He does not speak to us in an audible voice, but He does speak to our heart. I think there are times when God says, son, daughter, I prepared a classroom for you. And for a little while, you're going to go to the classroom. And there, you're going to learn to meet with me. There, I'm going to teach you more about myself. And I'm going to teach you how to think. You know, often it is hard for people to stop and think like God wants them to think. In fact, sometimes it's often hard for people to stop and think about heaven. And to think about hell. And to think about the eternal life. And to think about that. I know of many stories where God has put people in a classroom of loneliness in a hospital bed. And there they had to think. In fact, my grandfather, who we prayed for many, many years to get saved. Do you know where my grandfather got saved? It was a hospital bed. And do you know, my dad, bless his heart, my dad was always burdened for his own father. He witnessed to him multiple times, prayed for him for many years. But my grandfather entered the hospital, and my dad, you know what he did? He sent people up there to pray with my grandfather, to read the Bible to my grandfather, and to witness to him. And you know what? He was kind of confined right there, you know, which was a good thing. And he couldn't get out. He couldn't send them out, you know, because they were coming. And you know what my grandfather started doing? He started listening. And he started thinking. And then came the day when my dad said to his own dad, Dad, aren't you ready to get saved? And he said, yes. You know why? Because God put him in the schoolroom of loneliness. You see, often it's hard even for us to stop and to slow down and to think about our Savior, to think about what is important in life, to think about life and eternity, and to think about what is truly valuable in life. But our God, brethren, He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to wake us up, per se. He knows how to put us in a place where we're all alone, and there we meet with God. Folks, our God causes us to think about what we need from Him and how that He is the answer for everything that we are dealing with in life. Folks, when you go to the school of loneliness, the first lesson that you learn is a lesson on how to think. And God turns our thoughts toward Him. And we begin to ponder. We begin to meditate on God. And we learn how to think. What's the second lesson we learn in the school of loneliness? We learn the secret of strength. Now David, he's learning how to think right. David is having to contemplate God and the ways of God. He's having to contemplate trusting God. And by the way, do you know so often trusting the Lord begins in your thoughts? You know, you remember the man in God's Word that said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine what? Unbelief. And I believe the man was truthful. And how true is that for all of us? That we believe, but then there's thoughts that we have of unbelief. The thoughts of despair. And the thoughts that maybe God won't come through. And maybe God won't answer this prayer. And maybe God will not be true to His Word. But you see, David is learning to think right about God. He's learning to contemplate upon God. But then David is learning the secret of strength. Do you know that I believe that we are suffering today from a lack of strength as Christians. Christians that have no strength, Christians that are not spirit-filled, Christians that are not walking with the Lord. Man, can I just tell you the answer for revival in America? It is not the lost, it is Christians that have no strength and do not walk with the Lord. That's the answer. That's why the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God said, my people are proud. And then pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. You know what God was saying? My people don't pray. My people are proud. My people do not seek my face. My people will not turn from their wicked ways. And folks, it is true in America today, among God's people. God works His greatest accomplishments in the lives of His people in the hours of our greatest weakness. What is the source of our strength? Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. And I want you to notice this. You see, David is learning. He's in the school of loneliness. And that's a good place to be. No, I don't want to be there, and you don't want to be there. You know, in the school of loneliness, you're kind of left with yourself and God. And by the way, as I told my Sunday school class this morning, what you are in prayer with God is what you really are. So often, we don't want to get alone with God in prayer because we know what's in our hearts. But what we are alone with God in prayer is what we really are. And David is having to face his own self. He's having to face the things in his life that he can do nothing about. He's learning the secret of strength. By the way, where is strength found? Is it found in finances? Is it found in ability and might and able to shout someone else down? Is that where a strength is found? Is it found in knowledge? No. Can I tell you the source of strength? The source of our strength is that when we understand that we are weak and that He is strong, that's when we find strength. Amen. When we understand that we can do nothing in and of ourselves, we are weak. And in fact, the Bible says in John chapter 15, without me, ye can do nothing. We can do nothing of eternal value and of eternal significance without God. We cannot get over sin. We cannot deal with the temptations of the flesh unless we rest in His strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to look what the Bible says. Let's begin in verse number 7, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now notice what Paul said. God gave it to him. He didn't choose it for himself. "Given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength," notice that, God's strength, "my strength is made perfect in weakness." Whose weakness? Our weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now here is Paul, and Paul has the thorn in the flesh. Many Bible commentators believe that it was his eyesight. And the reason commentators believe that is because one church in, for instance, Paul said, "You would have plucked out your own eyes." So we think it was his eyesight. Could you imagine what it would have been like for Paul to not have good eyesight? That was no doubt a thorn. And Paul said he besought the Lord thrice, three times that he prayed, and he said, "God, let this depart from me." And God said, "No, I'm choosing this for you, Paul. No, Paul, I know what you need, Paul. Paul, I'm putting you in the classroom of loneliness. Paul, you're going to have to depend upon me. Paul, you need to see your weakness so you will find my strength. Paul, you need to know that I have more planned for you than what you could ever imagine. So I've chosen to show you where your real strength is. David needed to learn that his strength was not in sword and spear. And by the way, here in Nob, you know what he says? Hey, I don't have a sword or a spear. Do you have something? And Ahimelech the priest said, yeah, I've got the sword of Goliath. You know about that. And David said, there is none like that. Now David is looking for a sword rather than looking for the Lord. Now David is depending on what he can do in his own strength rather than what God is able to do. So David is having to learn the secret of strength. By the way, often when we fail is a great lesson for us to learn our own weakness. Listen, the devil wants you to live in despair over your failures, but God wants you to turn to Him in your failures. Because when we fail, we can find that He is the source of our strength. He is our refuge, and that there is nothing good in us, but He is everything that we need to deal with anything that we have to deal with in life. We're finding that He is our strength. By the way, think about Abraham. You know, Abraham, in the hours of loneliness, Abraham found his strength in the Lord. Think about Joseph. Joseph went to Egypt alone, separated from his father and his brethren. And when he got to Egypt, he was cast into a dungeon like a slave. But God built strength of character into Joseph's life in the school of loneliness. Think about Moses. God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. But guess what? Moses wasn't ready at 40. He wasn't ready at 50. He wasn't ready at 60. He wasn't ready at 70. It was not until Moses was 80 years of age, that had spent 40 years on the backside of a desert, where Moses learned much about his own life and much about God in the school of loneliness. Folks, the thing that you and I do not want is the very thing we need, and that's to go to the school of loneliness. Because there, we have to depend upon the Lord. There, we have to bend to God. We have to yield to the Lord. And in the school of loneliness, that we learn the secret of our strength. Brethren, can I encourage you to do something tonight? There are many things that God wants to do in your life and in my life. I'm encouraged tonight to know that God is not finished with any of us here. He's not finished with you. And that wayward child, He's not finished with that wayward child. That wayward Christian, He's not finished with that wayward Christian. Whoever he or she may be, God is not finished with them. But folks, God wants to do in our lives what we could never imagine. Let us let Him have His way. He wants to build in us what we need to become the Christians that He has created us to be and saved us to be. Folks, tonight, we ought to come to the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm willing to submit and to surrender to Your way in my school of loneliness. In fact, we ought to say, Lord, I want You to teach me what I need to learn in the classroom of loneliness. Do you know there have been times when we have children in our school that it's not that they're not able to learn, they refuse to learn. They refuse to be taught. There's not a whole lot we can do for them. I mean, you know, they just don't want to learn. They are capable in their mind. They are well more than capable to do the lesson and to do the homework, but they just don't want to do it. But brethren, you know what? Sometimes we are that same way. God puts us in the classroom. And you know what we do? We sit there and we get mad in the classroom. Have you ever been mad in God's classroom before? I have been. Have you ever pouted in God's classroom? I have. Do you ever think, Lord, I just want to get out of the classroom? Well, you're not going to learn the lesson. Because in His classroom, this classroom of loneliness, you know what we learn? We learn the way to think. We learn the secret of strength. And number three, the last thing, we learn that we are never alone. That may be one of the greatest lessons to learn, that we are never alone. You know, David I mean, really, when he came to Nob and he's speaking to Ahimelech, he's lying all the time. He's not speaking the truth, and he is saying, "Give me the sword of Goliath. I need the sword, and that I'm going to protect myself with the sword, and I can defeat any foe if I just have the sword of Goliath." And I know what you think, and I know what I think. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, if you would do this, and if you would take care of this, then we could have peace and victory. But that's not how it works. That's not how God works in our lives. He is working to bring us to the place of complete dependence on Him, to where we have no rights of our own, to where we yield to the Lord, to where we say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. But we want to learn in the classroom of loneliness that we are never alone. You know, David had to learn a lesson. He's learning many lessons. He's on his way to the throne, but God is preparing his man. Take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm chapter 34 in closing tonight. Psalm chapter 34, because I want you to see Psalm 34 is a commentary, really, on what we have just read in 1 Samuel. This is David writing this psalm, and David is writing this. And we find in Psalm 34, which relates to this time in David's life, that can reveal to us something of what David has learned. By the way, do you remember God did not deliver David from Goliath by the sword? No. God delivered the same way that he was going to deliver him now. And that is, he delivered him by the strength of the Lord. Now, I want you to listen to me because I want you to remember this. You know what we are so prone to do? We get into situations that are difficult, trials that are difficult. And you know what we do? We start thinking wrong often. You know what we think? How can I manipulate this situation? How can I convince this person to change? And how can I go straighten this person out? And, you know, we think about that sometimes. How can I manipulate? How can I scheme? And how can I work things to my advantage and straighten this out? You know, that's not what God wants us to do. Dr. Vance Havner once said, "We sing Christ is all I need, but He is not really all we need until He is all that we have. And when He is all that we have, we find out that He is all that we need." Christ is all that we need, but that's not often how we think, and it's not how we live. We think we sing Christ is all we need, but we get into trouble, we get into sorrow, and then we go to work. We go to work to scheme and to manipulate and to change things, and we're going to make this work. But we're not thinking right, and God has to put us in the classroom of loneliness to trust Him, to wait upon Him. David, he left Nob and he left Ahimelech the priest. He carried with him that great big sword. Can you imagine how big that sword was of a 9-foot-9-inch tall man? David's dragging that sword around. He's all alone. And on his way to find a place to which he can flee from the wrath of King Saul. But David had to come to the place where he was on his face before God, trusting God for what he needed. You know what? How many times my Heavenly Father has looked at me and He has no doubt said, "Oh, my child, this is not the way. This is not the way. This is not the way to get it done. The way is to trust me. The way is to lean on me. The way is to believe in me. The way is to know that I am at work and that I'm working all things together for your good. The way is to think right about me." Folks, right this very moment, there is a God in heaven who is with you. He is working. We look in Psalm chapter 34. Let's look at this. And I want you to see, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." But then notice what he says. This is David referring back to, no doubt, this time in his life. "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Folks, you ought to memorize that verse because that's a precious verse to have. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know what? David is referring back to this time of fear. But he says, God delivered me from all my fears. But he said, I sought the Lord and He heard me. Folks, what is God doing in your life in the school of loneliness? He is teaching you, and He wants you to learn how to think right. To think right about His Word, to think right about church, to think right about God's people, to think right about your marriage, to think right about your children, to think right. He wants you to think. But secondly, He wants you to find the secret of strength. Where is it? Is it the absence of trouble? That's not the source of your strength. Is it getting to some place to where, you know, you will have no trouble or sorrow? That's not the secret of strength. It is found that your strength is made perfect in your weakness. The weakness is recognizing that Christ is everything. Recognizing that He is at work. Recognizing that Jesus is all that we need, and that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it is of Christ. Amen. And then the third thing is that we learn that we are never alone. You know, there's times that I've gone through life and I have thought, God, where are You? Now, I don't say it, but I sure think it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I bet many of you have thought the very same thing. God, what are You doing? We don't say it, but we think it. And then later in life, after God brings us through the trial, we look back and you know what we say? Lord, You were right there. Lord, You brought that into my life. You chose that for me. I would have never chosen it for myself, but You chose it for me. And God, You did have a good plan. His plan's always right. His plan is always best. His ways are higher than our ways. And folks, let us trust Him tonight. In fact, this very moment, God is standing by your side. You are never alone. Trust Him. Believe Him. And when He puts you in the school of loneliness, you're never really alone because the Lord is there with you. By the way, the greatest thing that could happen in your life and in my life is that God puts us in the school of loneliness, and instead of kicking and screaming and pouting and fighting to get out of the classroom, we rest and come to know Him like we have never known Him before. And at His feet, that is where we find peace and rest and strength. And that's why we find guidance and direction for our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Our Father in heaven, I do not know what is going on in the hearts of Your people that are listening or here this evening. But Lord, I think many of them have gone to the classroom. Lord, they would have never chosen that. They would have never elected to go to that subject. But Lord, You've put us there on purpose. You love us too much not to put us in the classroom of loneliness. But God, may we learn how to think and what to think. Lord, may we learn the secret of our strength. May we learn that we are never alone. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would be honest tonight and you would say, Preacher, God has put me in the school of loneliness. I'm there right now. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? God's put me there. Amen. How many would say tonight, Preacher, I know that God has tried to put me there and I have just wanted to get out of the school of loneliness. And I want to learn the lessons that God wants me to learn. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Preacher. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, we ought to come before Him and say, Lord, help me. I need You. not just to get out of our circumstances, but to learn the lesson that He wants us to learn in the school of loneliness. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's pray together. Father, we pray tonight that You will help us. And Lord, as we make preparation even now for the Lord's table, I pray that we would deal with any sin in our heart this evening. Lord, You know that most of us in here know You, but we're not perfect, and we falter and fail. But I pray that we can come before Your table tonight to observe, Lord, Your death, Your shed blood for us, and that tonight we would be right and clean. But Lord, deal with us. I'm sure there's hurting hearts here tonight, but may we rush to Your presence, and may we find what You want to do at the school of loneliness. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The piano is going to begin to play. We're not going to sing tonight. I'm just going to ask you, if God has spoken to your heart, would you find a place to pray here? And maybe tonight, in preparation for the Lord's table, the Lord has put something in your heart that you know you need to make right with Him. Let's do that at this time. We would never choose the school of loneliness for ourselves, but God chooses it for us. Hurt, heartache, sorrow, but He is working. Let Him have His way.